Kazakhstan. Professor De Haas has been working a lot on Russian security issues, Russia-NATO relations, security issues globally in Eurasia, in the South Caucasus also, and now is working on Kazakhstan security issue. And of course, being based in Astana is a wonderful place to study these kind of issues, and is also working more globally on Central Asian security issues. So it's a great pleasure to have you with us today. Professor De Haas is here for 2 weeks, so it's a great chance for us to have you presenting here. So the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. Can you give my telephone to Ashley for taking pictures?
Yeah.
Or open it. Okay, good afternoon. Thanks for being here. So I hope to enlighten you all in Kazakh security policy. Why do I think I'm capable of doing that? I always say I know the security policy from both sides. That is, at the time, some 9 years ago, I've drafted for the Chief of Defense Staff of the Netherlands Armed Forces the first Netherlands Defense Doctrine. And in 2004, I did my PhD at Amsterdam University on Russian security policy in the 90s, so hence also on security documents, so military doctrine, strategies, and all that. And since my arrival in Kazakhstan last July, I thought it would be a good idea to study Kazakh security policy, and I'm now here to follow that up with further broadening my knowledge of Central Asian security policy. So, what would I like to do? I will do two things. The main question is, what about the consistence of Kazakh security policy? And I will compare theory with practice. First, the theoretic fundament of Kazakh security policy, that is the security documents, such as the military doctrine and a lot of other documents. And then I will take a look into the practice of Kazakh security policy, what the actual security policy is in the international arena, and what the response is of other international actors to that. And then I will draw some conclusions in comparing the theory, the documents, and the actual policy, and to see if that is concurrent. Well, we didn't talk about Q&A yet, but I don't have a problem with if people interrupt me during the talk, because I have enough slides. So you can ask questions at any time. And if it goes on too much, then I will just go on. But I think it's better than to wait for the 30 or some slides to finish. Okay. Now, of course, you I don't know your background, and so it's a little bit hard for me. For me, all these security documents are self-evident, whether they are Dutch, American, Russian, or Kazakh. But not all of you might know them, but I will try to enlighten the differences between the security documents. So the first part, the theory. I'm going to take a look at the five main security documents. Why do I know that these are the five main security documents in Kazakhstan? And by the way, they are all available on the internet, most of them also in English. Only the military doctrine and the law on national security are only available in Kazakh and Russian. All the others are also available in English. Well, why do I consider them to be the five main security documents? Well, because it's listed, they are listed in the Foreign Policy Concept of 2014, so the youngest security document, as being a sort of guidance. So I've drawn the conclusion that apparently these documents are then leading the Kazakh security policy. Now, what I've done is I've made an analysis, and well, some of you have asked already, is this a paper or a publication? Well, hopefully it is, but that will come out, well, between 6 and 9 months. I don't know, what is the common rule here? Do we send around PowerPoint presentations or not?
Usually no, but if you want to make them available, we will.
Okay, well, we'll discuss that later on. Because currently the only thing I have is a small opinion article in a Dutch newspaper, which I did translate into English. But other than that, I'm waiting for a conference paper to be published on this, and the other thing is an academic article, but that will take another 6 or 9 months. So to that extent, I don't have this available yet. Okay, now what I've done with these five security documents, I've compared them. And this is a sort of old trick of me, because I did this with my PhD as well on Russian security documents. So I've analyzed them all on, let's say, on basic points which you will always find in security documents. As I said, whether they are Dutch or Russian or American, you will always see this. First, a number of general provisions, what security policy is. Then the different types of security, because nowadays we talk about the broad concept of security, which is much more than only the military and the diplomatic stuff, which is traditional, the point of view. Then you get the objectives of the security policy, and usually that is intertwined with national interests. The national interests sort of dictate the objectives. And then countering that are threats, both internal threats and external threats. And then finally, usually one or more of these security documents mention the different actors that are responsible for ensuring national security. So they sort of execute the policy. So that's the contents of these documents. The general provisions. Well, this is a typical language with these documents always start, so not, you know, very interesting, very common. But I have to say, I've compared this with, well, my knowledge of both Western and Russian security documents, and it's pretty much in line. So nothing new. What they list here, it's, let's say, common knowledge. And the same applies to the national interests. So it's a lot of, let's say, high-level talking, but it's basically not different from any other country. Now, here it starts to get interesting. What kind of types of national security we have? And as I already said, it's more than only political and diplomatic stuff. And as I said, this is a combination of all five documents. But mainly, I should have mentioned that before, the three main documents are the Law on National Security. But I will come back to that in my conclusions. The Law of National Security, the Foreign Policy Concept, and the Military Doctrine. Now, and some of these documents list these types of national security. And there you will see that the aspect of security is much broader than only the military political stuff. So public security, health issues, values, well-being, also has to do with the different ethnic groups. Well, military security, that's self-evident. Political security, that's also, let's say, the conventional approach, constitutional order, rights and freedoms, stability, etc. Nothing new. Economic. And we'll see that that is one a major issue in current Kazakh security thinking. Information security, that's also an item which comes to the fore. And environmental issues. For instance, that includes the fact that Kazakhstan has a scarcity of drinking water. Now, these are the objectives of security policy. as mentioned in the different security documents. Well, the first one, that is the traditional domestic one, ensuring national security, your defense capacity, ensuring sovereignty, territorial unity. Then, and this is typical for Kazakhstan, the successful implementation of the Strategy 2050. Now, if I go back, there we are. There we have these five security documents. And you see number four is the Kazakhstan 2050 strategy. Now, this document, this is a sort of leading document for all aspects of Kazakhstan. This was launched in 2012 by the president in his annual speech, and I think it's about 60 or 70 pages. It's an all-compassing strategy for Kazakhstan to become one of the leading economic and vulnerable aspects countries in the world in 2050, one of the 30, let's say, most outstanding countries. That's the idea. And it covers each and every subject. So military stuff, foreign policy, but also health, healthcare, education, everything. Therefore, I've included this because it also has security aspects. Now, and of course, since this, and you will see that each and every statement, for instance, last Sunday, we received a new building, that is my school, the Graduate School of Public Policy, together with the School of Business Administration, and the Minister of Foreign Affairs, who happens to be here downtown next week, did an opening speech, and immediately he will start with this strategy 2050. So it's a continuous document that is referred to. It's also updated in the beginning of this year. Normally the president would held one address to the nation one time per year. In this case, he has done it already twice. A couple of weeks ago, he did it for the second time, because he said that, well, the number of issues are changing, for instance, the economic circumstances, that is, the results of the sanctions between Russia and the West, and the rise of ISIS. And therefore, he launched, well, actually a number of economic measures which he wants to have implemented before the 1st of January. So that is why, in 1 year time, he did two addresses. But especially his speech of January of this year was a sort of adjustment of this or further implementation of this strategy 2050. So, and again, it covers basically everything you could think of, all aspects of society and of the state. As you can see, rule of law, human rights, energy, and a lot of attention to, of course, the economy. So these were the aspects on a domestic level. Then on a global level, well, economy is of course very important for Kazakhstan, so further integration in the world level of economy. WTO membership is very important. I understand that next year they will get the invitation to join. Well, then some talk about international security, international law, cooperation and good neighborly relations, etc., non-interference in each other's domestic affairs, peaceful and well. All these things, I would say, are common knowledge for us, let's say, people in Europe and the US. So nothing special about that. That's really a normal approach of things. Then we get the national interests. Well, these aspects are also, well, let's say, more a traditional approach to security, but also the new aspects, social aspects, economic aspects, social harmony, political stability, quality of health, social security, education. Well, Nazarbayev University is, of course, by far the outstanding institute that is, well, also going to be a vanguard for all other universities in Kazakhstan to take the lead in all kinds of aspects. Again, partly traditional approach, of course, to protect your borders, independence, integrity, etc. The functioning of the economy, energy aspects, of course, important, environment. So you can see that objectives of policy and national interests are in line with each other. Now, the threats. Again, based upon these five documents, but especially on the military doctrine, the foreign policy concept, and the law on national security. These are the aspects, well, which come to the fore. You would also always see in Central Asia terrorism, separatism, extremism. That has to do also with the principles of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, what I will talk about later on. But also other aspects. Again, it's the broad concept of security. Problems in demography, let's say the population going down, maybe because of health problems, uncontrolled migration, social and political situation, conflicts. There are, of course, different groupings within Kazakhstan, different tribes and all that. So these are the domestic threats. Again, it's a mixture of traditional approach of security, the military and political stuff, overthrowing constitutional order, integrity, inviolability of the borders, etc. Again, terrorism, extremism, separatism, economic security, environmental, drinking water, I already mentioned that, and health situation. Then, on a global level, so this was the domestic level, they are not very explicit in the documents, but the first one is high dynamic unpredictable developments. Well, what would that be? That could be, well, maybe the Middle East, maybe what's happening between Russia and Ukraine. Also the second part, increased competition among leading regional and global powers. But they don't explicit that. So is that between the US and Russia, or maybe China-Russia? Again, separatism, extremism. Then an uneven distribution of natural resources. Again, that's also not made explicit. That could be, of course, energy resources, but also maybe food or whatever. And then the final one, an increasing gap between developed and developing countries. And then more specifically in the Central Asian region, the situation of Afghanistan. That is, of course, a big worry, not only for Kazakhstan, but for the whole of Central Asia and for Russia and China as well. What is going to happen after the withdrawal of most of the NATO forces and US forces at the end of this year. Then also in Central Asia, there are still problems between Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, could be border problems, could be water problems, problems with minorities. In addition to this, narcotics, of course, illegal immigration. Another issue is the Caspian Sea, so here you see the connection of, let's say, border issues and economic energy issues. They mentioned that some Caspian states are increasing their military capabilities. Well, that is, for instance, Azerbaijan, but also Iran, and Russia is also reinforcing its Caspian flotilla. And some of the oil fields are disputed. Now, these were the threats. Then, according to the security documents, what are the forces available for ensuring national security policy? Special state bodies. Well, that is, of course, the security services. Then the armed forces. Other troops, that is, other troops other than the Ministry of Defense. For instance, the border guard troops of the KB, the security service. And there are other, well, we would call them paramilitary forces. So, well, another one is the Ministry for Emergencies. So there are other law enforcing agencies other than the Ministry of Defense, and they have their own armed forces or military formations. So people that carry ranks. Then other organs like financial police, state fire service, customs, emergency services. Now, interesting is that they explicitly mention that ensuring national security is a task for all state agencies, and that all these actors should act jointly, interdepartmental and comprehensive. Now, and this is very interesting, because these aspects you would see in Western security documents mentioned as well, and the whole, let's say, idea of a national security policy is the combination of the different departments and agencies. And when I at the time drafted the Netherlands Defense Doctrine, and subsequently we had a national security strategy, and later on now we have a international security strategy, you would also see these aspects. So clearly the policymakers in Kazakhstan have had a clear vision and a good mindset and a good insight in security documents of other countries, both Russian and Western security documents.